This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. This is iFanboy Media Splode, episode 10. Fanboy Media Splode. It's a new year. It's a new Media Splode. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello, Connor.
And Josh Flanagan.
New year, new you.
New us.
This is the iFanboy Media Splode show, unlocked by the patrons over at patreon.com/iFanboy. It's our monthly show in which we talk about things outside of the comic book world that we've enjoyed since the last time we talked. And actually, it's been a while since we talked because we skipped December because we did our big year-end media show.
I wouldn't say we skipped it. I mean, like,
We did our big year-end media show, which took the place of this show. Because it's basically the same content. So we're back to talk
about a factor of three.
What we've been enjoying. And we figured we would start the normal way, which is go over some of the things we've been enjoying. And then we're going to get into our main topic, which I'm very excited to talk about. We haven't even talked about amongst ourselves yet. So let's start with Josh. What have you been enjoying since we last spoke?
My wife and I, we started watching The Americans in the aftermath of Perry Mason and it's joy, the joy of Perry Mason, and it's horrible, scary content besides that. So we started from the very beginning, and we had both made attempts to watch it in the past, and it just didn't catch on for whatever reason, but we stuck with it. And you know, every night we watch a couple of them. It took months.
It's like 23 episodes a season or something.
26. Yeah. And there's six seasons. And there really is a bit at the beginning. It very much is like the caper of the week thing, which, you know, is kind of fun, but it gets old really fast. And so when they sort of figured out how to turn it into, you know, a larger story and really get to know the characters and all those relationships being interweaved, you know, that last season really was spectacular. The last two seasons were really great. And that last one was just over the top. And I had known. Yeah, basically, this started because I was like, I would like to see more of Matthew Rhys and understand what's so great about it. Because it's great. And I was like, why is it great? And Connor had mentioned, he's like, yeah, he won an Emmy for the last season. And so I was kind of waiting for it. And I could totally see it. Like, as soon as the season started, and it was this, I don't want to spoil it. So I guess if you've seen it, you know, his situation changed greatly. And he was a completely different person. Mm-hmm. You know, at the beginning of that season, and then you sort of watch them go through everything that happens. And it was fun. It was a really good, you know, if there has to be a good pandemic TV project, I thought that was a particularly nice choice, I think, that we made, that we go through that stuff. And, you know, it's got that also, like, oh, they're in the 80s. There's this. And you're sort of comparing that to history. There were some really nice guest star turns. Dylan Baker is actually one of my favorite parts of that whole show. As he comes on as sort of the Russian spy in the biochemical weapons labs, right. and stuff like that. And also, you know, the whole time you watch it and they're acting like this, and then you pull up one interview with Matthew Rhys and it all falls apart because he doesn't sound like that at all. in any way. He's a completely different person. And then at the same time, you're watching going, so they got married to each other right after the first season. Yeah. So there's that weird thing.
Oh, and, it's even weirder. She was married to somebody else in the beginning of the first season.
Yeah, I know. With kids and stuff. Yeah. And then, you know, like the big conversation we were having at the end, like, is she a sociopath or is he? Like, he wants to be. Is the Elizabeth a sociopath?
Okay.
Yeah. Carrie Russell. No, the character.
I was like, wow.
Yeah, seriously. Like,
and, you know, there's this whole morality thing that you're always playing with. Like, it was like, you forget, is Stan a bad guy at times or is he good? Like, I really enjoyed that. You play with sort of who, because we all grew up in America in the 80s. The Russians were the bad guys and the show that fucks with you.
Well, yeah. Who do you root for? Because the heroes of the show are the bad guys.
It's not heroes as much as there are protagonists, and it shifts around and it was a really fun show. It is one of those shows that became stronger as it kept going. I think it's a little like Halt and Catch Fire, is that you want to tell somebody it's really good, but you're going to have to put in some work to get to that point, I think.
I think that was great out of the gate. It was one of my favorite shows of the last 10 years or whatever long it ran for. I always let it build up, though, for whatever reason, and then I would watch like 6 in a row.
I think that kind of thing helps with that.
I've never watched a single episode. It's been on like the periphery, but after Mason and the Mr. Rogers movie, I think now like he seems to be enough to be like, okay, I should check that out.
And she's great in it too. I mean, it's a very un-Carrie Russell part, you know.
She is, in the fact, you know, the thing that I kept thinking towards the end is that she's the heavy, by the way. Just like, she's much scarier than anybody else in that show.
Yeah.
And she's this tiny, slight person. And she's genuinely, like, by force of her, basically like her intimidation and how she holds herself, she's really sort of scary, which I think is really interesting because, you know, she's a tiny little person.
Yeah.
She probably wouldn't look scary at all in person, but she really carries it off. And I just, you know, that this show's worth it for their really weird, fascinating relationship. And
I keep forgetting she's in Star Wars. Yeah.
She is.
Yeah. She was in the last one.
She was in the last one. She was the
Poe Dameron's girlfriend.
Yeah, with the mask, with the helmet.
You don't see her face, just her eyes.
Yeah.
That didn't make much of an impact on me, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. Well, she was in it. She was there.
Oh, that's because J.J. Abrams?
Yeah. Exactly.
Ron, what have you been watching?
I'm super excited. Well, so we had a bit of a lull because, you know, the holidays and for those, you know, I don't know how we know or not, we moved over the holidays. So we moved out of our apartment into a new house. So, you know, the TV's been disconnected for a while and then didn't have internet, all that fun stuff. And then it was the holidays too. And we were watching just holiday things, but we're still plugging along. I think I'm 2 episodes away from finishing Star Trek Discovery, but I can't wait to finish Star Trek Discovery because I just started watching The Expanse season 5 on Amazon, which, you know, longtime listeners know The Expanse is not only one of Connor and my favorite book series. Oh, Josh, you're caught up. You read them, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of all of our favorite book series, but big fans of the TV show as well. And I'm early into the season. Connor, have you watched any of it? Or
no, I don't think I watched the last season either.
Oh, geez. Oh, well.
Really?
Yeah.
That was my least favorite.
The show is what it is. I enjoy the show, but I don't really.
You never got over the Holden casting.
He's the big part of the story, and he's not that great.
No, I know. And you didn't like
that
casting.
He's gotten better. He's gotten better.
So, Josh, you've watched more of season 5 than I have.
I want to say I'm 4 or 5 in.
Okay. They're spending that Amazon money.
They certainly are. But they're also doing like 3 or 4 books.
You're right. They're condensing a lot of the books.
More season, right? Isn't they're getting?
Yeah, one more season. But I do got to say, it's like noticeably increased effects budget.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Sci-fi to Amazon, they're going to definitely increase.
Visibly notice that, like, visibly looks better.
Mm-hmm.
I've been impressed by that. But it happens to be covering one of the books that I think is our shared kind of one of our favorite books of them all, where like the kind of everyone kind of scatters and
like everybody's favorite book.
Yeah. And so it's
also where the story permanently changes in that book.
Yeah,
the whole status quo of the story changes in that book.
In the books, is that the one that in this season, right?
Like, no, not yet.
The next one. Oh. It's the one after this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to do that.
I hope so.
That'd be funny. In their like fat suits, like Fat Lee Adama.
You love Fat Lee Adama. That's like
it's so ridiculous. Like, there was no reason to do it. It was just like it was literally made as much sense as Fat Mac on Sunny.
Yeah. Well, what was great was that Fat Leodama was a suit, and Fat Mac on It's Always Sunday, he gained that weight.
He should win some sort of all-time Emmy Award for that one thing alone. Yeah, it's one of the funniest things I've ever conceived of.
But Expanse, I'm so happy it's back. I got some good solid science fiction to watch once I finish Discovery, and now it looks better than ever. So, yeah, strongly recommend.
So, very similar to Ron, I moved over the break, so that derailed a lot of stuff. Plus, much like Ron, Christmas time came, and that during that time, I pretty much only watch Christmas movies and other things. So my other watching pretty much stopped for the month of December, but we're still breaking our way through Psych. We got 3 episodes left in this series, and then we have the 2 films. Second film I haven't seen yet. But for some random reason, in the middle of all that, we watched, it was a 4-episode BBC, I think BBC series, it was on PBS here, called Roadkill, starring Hugh Laurie, about a ambitious minister in the British government who is trying desperately to keep his skeletons in his closet as he climbs the ladder of political power in a conservative government in England. And it was really good. I love a British drama. I love a British government drama, and it was full of great actors. But it's one of those things where you're watching it and you're like, who am I rooting for here? Because the press people are all awful and the minister's awful, but is he? And it's also only 4 episodes. It moves really fast and it condenses. I don't know if there's going to be more. It's one of those things where you just don't know now. Like, are they going to do another 4 episodes? Who knows? When are they going to shoot it?
Did you guys watch that? What was it called? The one with Hugh Grant?
Yep.
The Amazon one where he was... That one was... I can't remember the name of it, but that was fantastic with him.
Oh, and, was that the scandal? Like a very English scandal. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
It's similar to that. Like the same kind of length. One more episode, but the same kind of thing. British government scandal story.
What's the time? Is it like...
This is modern, you know, set now. It's,
oh, okay. Yeah.
It's basically him trying to keep a lid on all of his possible things as his family life falls apart, that he's gaining political power. It's a nice little 4 episode. I think they're an hour each.
What was it?
It's called Roadkill. PBS. Watch it on the PBS app.
That PBS app is a wonderful thing. I'll tell you that much.
Yep.
That was it for me, other than, you know, we can go through all the Christmas movies again, but we did that last time, so we won't do it this time.
I'm at the point now where, let's move on. Let's wait till next year.
That was a joke.
But I'm at the point now where I keep seeing movies or shows coming up. I'm like, oh, I want to watch that, and I immediately forget about it.
Yes. Well, it's just too much.
Yeah, there's too much. But on Amazon, they had a movie that was like One Night in Miami or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I heard good things about that.
Yep.
And then what is the new Carey Mulligan movie? I'm hearing very good things about that, too. A Promising Young Woman. So that's been added to my list. I'm hopefully going to watch those and can report back next month on them.
We're going to devote the rest of our time, but we wanted to talk about The Mandalorian, which ended deep in December, right? It ended December 18th. And we haven't had a chance to talk about it amongst ourselves. We haven't had a chance to talk about it with anyone else. We thought we'd talk about overall season 2 in general and what our thoughts were. So spoilers if you haven't seen season 2 of Mandalorian, because there's no way to talk about some of the bigger things here without spoiling them. So season 2 came out at the end of October. Was it 8 episodes again?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
And so in season 1, you had the Mandalorian and you had the child. And we kick off season 2 back on Tatooine. And he runs into Raylan Givens, Boba Fett Marshal, wearing Boba Fett's old armor. And away we go from that point. So what did you guys think overall about season 2?
What I thought was interesting was that what made season 1 of Mandalorian so great was that it existed within the Star Wars universe but didn't connect to anything we've already known up to this point other than just the concept of Mandalorians, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then season 2... And Yodas,
and whatever they are.
Yaddles. Season 2, on the other hand, leaned heavily into the Star Wars universe.
Jump in the deep end.
And while reading it on paper, running down the list of all the, Ahsoka, Boba Fett, Starbuck, Mandalorian, and all the Dave Filoni verse, cartoon stuff and stuff like that, on paper would have me kind of like, ugh. But I got to admit, the approach to storytelling that they made with season 1 worked in season 2 with all the connections to the Star Wars universe, ultimately leading to the climax, which is the big, like, mind-blowing thing.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Devote some time to that.
But with the rare exception of, you know, I know Josh is going to complain about the spider episode, but with like two episodes dragging on longer than they needed to when he was like delivering the frog lady, it was just like it was A plus for me. It was just, every week we couldn't wait till we watched the next episode. It was like must see TV. So it was great.
I'm not complaining about the spider episode. It's just that my son refused to watch it anymore after that one.
No, I mean, it was a lot of people said that it was downright scary. It was very they played into the genre piece of it, and that was like a horror, and that was rough for some kids. So
yeah, it was a weird,
or anyone with arachnophobia.
It's a weird thing where so many kids. It seemed like such an entryway, but regardless, like it was scary and well done. You know, it was well done for what it was. Content choice being what it was. I don't know that I made that connection, but I guess it was really like leaning into Star Wars. But I think because it had already set its own aesthetic, I felt that it kept up with that. And it was decided that one of the things that I love the most about that show is that, you know, it starts off in, I guess I'll call him Mando. I don't love that, but I don't want to say the whole thing.
I don't even know his real name. It's Din or something?
We don't. Din Djarin.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we know it. No one calls him that.
Well, we know the child's name too, you know. And at first he's, you know, super competent. He goes in there and then he really gets like he's got a whole sighing thing that happens now, and he gets the shit beat out of him, and things just keep not going right for him. Yeah. You know, and things keep getting harder. And I really found that fun. It was like a low key sort of running gag. I've watched all the way through it, and I've watched through it twice because I was watching with my wife, and we're on the last episode. She hasn't seen the last episode. So we just did the one where Bill Burr comes back, and they go to the Rebel base, or sorry, the Empire base, and you know, he just gets the shit beat out of him by all the people throwing the bombs at them and everything. And that, what a great episode. And all, like, when Bill Burr was on it originally, I thought, this is terrible. He does not belong. It was my least favorite episode of that season.
It really reclaimed him.
It really did. Like, as a character, they gave him something to do. You sort of got over the fact that you were looking at Bill Burr all the time, which is what I couldn't, you know. I'm very familiar with Bill Burr. So it was just, just be like, what's Jerry Seinfeld doing here? Like, it just took me a little bit to get out of it. But then, you know, they gave him a character. It was a good story. You know, the drama of him having to take his mask off, you know, and do the whole thing. Which is ironic, now that I think about it.
I like that this season, it sort of peeled back on the idea that maybe his ethos is not all it's cracked up to be. Like, the first season was all about the code.
This is the way. Code. This is the way.
And this one is all about people being like, your code is dumb. You know, your code doesn't even make sense. Your code doesn't even follow it on Mandalore. Like, it's like his whole worldview is being, I don't say shattered, but it's being questioned. So by the time you get to this end of this season, it's like, who is he anymore even? So that's been a nice little undercurrent to this whole season between Bill Burr's character and the other Mandalorian characters and the baby and all that and Boba Fett and all that stuff.
It's true, because like in the beginning, he is a bounty hunter. He is the bounty hunter. He's not even that anymore. Now he's got a quest.
Right.
That's his job. And the sort of, you know, he didn't spend the whole season being annoyed at the child. You know, their bond grows.
One of the amazing feats of this show, I think, is how you're able to take what is a puppet and a helmet and create an emotional bond to the point where, like, I'm choked up numerous times on the way this puppet and this helmet are interacting with each other. Like, you know, it's embarrassing. It's almost embarrassing, right? Like, it's
there is somewhere in there some magic of storytelling that I don't know that I can put my finger on. Like, is it, you know, the puppeteer plus plus the voice acting, plus the tilting of the head, plus the story, like all of those things are mixed together to allow that thing to happen. And let's not, you know, mince words. No one can resist the Grogu. Right?
No one.
You can be the most cold hearted bastard in the world, and they will cut to him and he will make a sound. And something about that design and
by the way, I can further attest to it because my kids are two and they know nothing of this world, of this universe. And in our old apartment, the doorman got one of those, you know, the Hasbro came out with like the real size doll. Mm-hmm. Animatronic doll, and he got one of them, and he was put in there's a little tree in our lobby where he put Christmas lights in, and he put Grogu in the tree, and the first moment those kids saw it, they were in love. And every time we went around, we had to go play with it, and they would crack up. And I was like, "Oh God, there's something chemical here." Like, like they've tapped into something that is like, these are 2 year olds with no context whatsoever, and they cannot get enough of this thing. Yeah,
I mean, there's that side which is that's obvious. Like, but then the other side is like, adults can't even get over themselves. Yeah, like everybody, it is like, yeah, it's you're right. It's something about it's chemical and just like some base design of eyes and head shape and movement. Yeah. It's amazing.
I don't know how they did it.
And I think, you know, I think the overall thing is for, you know, it seems to be working for everybody in some way, but I think for us, it's like Star Wars. And I think if we're then going to, you know, this is the Star Wars that we've wanted to see ever since there wasn't any more Star Wars. I think there's something that they're getting right. So that brings, if I may, if we can move into, as we get to the last episode.
Well, hold on. Not the last episode yet. Because there's a lot of things before we get to the last episode.
We haven't talked about Boba Fett. We haven't talked about.
I don't want to talk about him.
We used to talk about the fact that this was the Boba Fett show we always wanted. And now it is a Boba Fett show. And now there's going to be a Boba Fett show. So we've now gone beyond the pale of where we started with this. When Ron talked about jumping in the deep end, so we've got two paths here. One is the reintroduction of classic Star Wars characters like Boba Fett. And the other path is the introduction of all the animated characters, like Ahsoka. Is that how you say her name?
Ahsoka.
And then the other ones who apparently are animated characters. But
now, depending on your age and point of view or whatever, that's all the same thing to them. They're all just characters coming into this now.
Right. No, but we draw a distinction because it's like because it's also pointing out that Dave Filoni, who show ran a lot of the cartoon stuff, is co-showrunner on this show with Favreau and seems to be the Lucas heir apparent in terms of at least in the current politics of what's going on at Lucasfilm. And so, it comes to no surprise knowing that Mandalorian had so many ties to the cartoons, which is admittedly a blind spot to me. And I talk about this. I have several staff members on my team at work who are in their 20s who grew up on the prequels and then the cartoons. And so they were losing their shit throughout this whole season because of so many nods to the cartoons. And I was just like, what the hell are you all talking about?
Yeah.
And so the like Starbucks character, they're explaining to me all this stuff and the Darksaber and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, none of this exists as far as I'm concerned. Right. Like, sorry. I'm like, because they're like, well, just because you haven't watched it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I'm like, no, it does. No, I was kidding. No, but I was saying like there that like for whatever generation or like our, you know, like us, like I haven't watched it. I've seen bits and pieces of the Clone Wars and of, you know, other, you know, I didn't watch any Rebels. I didn't watch any of this stuff. No. I know it exists and it's cool that it's all being melded in for the next generation, but as old man Star Wars, I was just like, well, Boba Fett got fat
and he sounds wrong.
Yeah. Okay,
so in the first episode we meet the marshal who is wearing Boba Fett's armor, and he's a marshal of some outskirt town, and at the end of it we see a little cameo of Temuera. Is that how you say it?
Temuera Morrison,
who played Jango Fett in the prequels, and was clearly, you know, since Boba was a clone of Jango, God damn it.
Painful.
He doesn't even like talk.
I hate everything about it. So, obviously, hey, it's Boba Fett. He looks like a man of the desert. You know, he had the rags and the staff.
I did like that. Like, if we're saying that after the Sarlacc pit, you know, he had to live among the land and he got real down with the sand people. And he has the gaffy stick. I'm cool with that.
That was pretty cool.
And so then I thought, oh, it's a nice nod to Boba Fett. And then Boba Fett comes back full force, reclaims the armor, has a sidekick, joins Mando's team, basically is Mando's driver. The most badass character in the universe is now the chauffeur. I loved this season. I loved it. I have a lot of mental gymnastics I've had to do with Boba Fett.
I was going to say, it's kind of a thing for you to be able to say that. That goes against a lot of hard and fast Gunner rules.
Well, it's as you said, it's not Boba Fett. I mean, it's just, he doesn't look or sound anything like Boba Fett. And so I have to make a lot of amends in my head because it's so,
nothing
the show's
gets
so
to me as much as the fact that that's not his voice.
Yeah.
And I know that that's been his voice longer than it hasn't been, but.
Yeah, they went back and redubbed it, which really annoys me. But
yes,
but in my mind, in my memory, in my emotional core, Boba Fett sounds one way. He's tall and lanky. And now he's like Jeremy Brett was 6 feet, I think. Oh. I think Temuera Morrison's like 5'9" or something. Like, he's like this completely different body type. He's a short, stocky guy who would probably destroy Bear Jeremy Brett to fight, but still, he just doesn't look like Boba Fett, and then he doesn't sound anything like Boba Fett. So it's been a challenge, because I love Boba Fett, and it's just been like, okay, I guess that's Boba Fett.
It is tough, because like it was funny, because when we were watching Mandalorian, when we saw him at, you know, before the armor, when we saw a scarred head or whatever, yep. And I like kind of gasped, and my wife was like, oh, because she knows nothing about any of this, and I was like, oh, that's the guy who played Jango Fett and blah blah blah, explaining it. And then when we saw Boba Fett's armor, and then eventually when he got it all, it was like, she's like, wait, didn't he die in Return of the Jedi? And so I had to explain all of that, the Sarlacc pit and all that stuff. And it's been a joke among Star Wars fans since the 90s, because you know they undid the Star as soon as they could in the EU, in the books, they undid the Boba Fett going into Sarlacc pit. Yeah, not only in the comic books, but also was it in Tales of the Bounty Hunters? They told the story of how
they did it all over the place. They did it as soon as they could do it everywhere. They did it.
Yeah, so like Boba Fett is too cool of a character in order to do that. So now the thing is that and it's going back to my 20-something friends at work who grew up on the comic books. They understand what the big deal was about Boba Fett in the show, because they all thought Boba Fett was a joke. Because they thought Boba Fett was this guy who didn't say anything and then fell into the hole in Jedi. Why is he a bad? And so I'm trying to explain to him, like, no, you don't understand. In the 80s, not saying anything was the coolest thing that could happen.
Right.
Right. And then we for whatever reason, because there's the action, because of the lore design of the action figure or whatever it was. Boba Fett was like, Boba Fett and Wolverine were like the two coolest characters in the 80s.
Yeah.
Right. And they both suffered from the same mistake, which is you took the mystery away.
Too much backstory, always a better.
Too much backstory, and they became uncool. And so now, like, given that all happened with the prequels, the fact that Boba Fett now is fat and wears a black tunic, you know, and like it is just wearing the armor, it's like it's fine. It's Boba Fett. It's Slave One. Slave One's cool. I'll take it. But for a moment, Connor, I'm with you, and I was like, not my Boba Fett.
And it was cool to see him with the gaffy stick and beating the hell out of the stormtroopers. And it was like, hey, Boba Fett's awesome. But then it was just like, doesn't look.
I gotta tell you, my 6 year old was super into Slave One. He's like, "What is that ship?" And I was like, "I hear you, brother.
Slave One, I hear you." Yeah, I had to pause the show and explain to my wife. I'm like, "You see, the street lamps by Lucasfilm," and I'm explaining the design.
it's cool to see him, but then like you know. I don't know. I struggle with it because I like the idea of Boba Fett being in this world. And then they cleaned up his armor and it looked weird. And
yeah, the repaint job was rough. I was like, ugh.
Did they take the dent out? I think they did.
No, I think the dent is still there.
Yeah, you kind of have to do that. But I mean, you're right. Like, we see this in comics all the time. I believe Justin Timberlake said it in The Social Network. Like, you're just not – it's cool right now. Just leave it.
Right.
You know, and they keep – you know – trying to explain it and trying to get more out of it and try to get more, you know, revenue streams out of it or whatever it is. They're making it not cool, but it was so cool. And now it's not, but it's in the thing that's so cool that it's cool.
I mean, I buy more the Marshall as Boba Fett. You know, he looked more like a tall, lanky Boba Fett guy.
Real stretch putting Timothy Oliphant in a lawman role, right. I think.
And also somebody else from Deadwood was in that episode. I don't remember who it was. Playing the bartender in the scene with him.
Was it Jim Beaver?
So move along. Then we move on to Ahsoka and the other Mandalorian characters. I don't really understand the whole internecine Mandalorian fight and all that stuff, but fine.
It didn't bother me because I don't know anything about it. It was all new as far as I was concerned.
Ahsoka was cool. I like the actress.
She was great. And Rosario Dawson is... Well, honest, more or less.
She's getting her own show, so yeah. So hopefully she was good.
Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Oh yeah, Thrawn is the thing. But I will say that the one thing I don't love, I think Giancarlo Esposito is just so on the nose to do this that I'm like, he's just had somebody else that's more interesting. And I think they do that a couple times. You know, like Timothy Oliphant being that character is a little on the nose. It's just so, you know, it's like typecasting those people to do the thing that they're most typecast about. And they're doing that, you know, in a couple of places. I think that was one thing I didn't love this season, last season too. Although like last season when they bring in like Werner Herzog, that was just weird. And I really liked it for that. Whereas some of the other choices are just, I mean, honestly, having Starbuck, does she do the voice in the cartoon?
Yep. She did. Yep. She did.
Okay. Well, there you go. You know, again, it's a little on the nose having her play that kind of character, but not Ming-Na, though. Ming-Na is great.
She deserves a lot of credit. She's very, very good at what she does. No, I thought you know, the use of guest stars and the use of and what I did like about it was, you know, to your point with Bill Burr and this is that you had Mandalorian going from being on the solo quest to then, you know, adding Boba Fett and Ming-Na and adding Cara Dune, the shock trooper from season one, who's now the marshal of the town, right? You know, like they had a cool little gang by the end of it. Like,
yeah,
that was
true.
That was cool. And it was like, and the thing was, is like, I did hear a lot of criticism of it from people because like every episode was the same, because every episode was like the whole story moved throughout the whole season, but every episode was a single heist or a single task that he had to do. But I liked that.
Yeah.
Like that was enjoyable to me. Like it was like, oh, this is what the challenge of this episode is. Okay, cool. They're going to do this. And then, you know, and it always goes sideways and they got to figure it out what to do. I think
that could be a problem if it wasn't good, but it was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's also only a few of them. It's not like you're 20 episodes true. Of doing it.
While we continue to delay before the big climax thing, staying on the Boba Fett topic, Connor, what did you think of the end credit sequence?
I thought it was cool because Boba's not a good guy.
Right.
You know, and the risk of fighting him with the Mandalorian is he turns into a good guy. But clearly he was doing what he was doing with the Mandalorian to fulfill his honor. And now we don't know what he's going to do, that he's taking over Jabba's empire, but he walks in and murders Bib Fortuna and takes over the empire. So that made sense to me. He's getting revenge.
Not the empire, but
his Jabba's criminal empire. I liked it. I thought it made sense. These are gray characters. These aren't Jedi. You know, this isn't right. Princess Leia. These are all characters that existed in the gray. Anyway, when the Mandalorian, we first meet him for season one, he's a bounty hunter who's going to turn in Baby Yoda. So
he did.
Right. So I liked it in terms of character stuff. It made sense to me Boba Fett would do that.
Right. All right. So are you in for the Boba Fett series then?
I mean, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm going to be grinding my teeth a little bit watching it, but.
All right.
I did get worried that I was like, wait, is this what it is now? You know, like, I didn't want that.
Because there was all this confusion as to what happens with the Mandalorian, right? Because for a moment it seemed like the Mandalorian was done and it was just going to, and the next Mandalorian was going to be the Boba Fett show. Like they admittedly fumbled that because the timing of it was like, it was right around the Disney Investor Day and all these announcements of the new stuff coming from Star Wars, but they held this one back. And that was very confusing.
I was like, what was the show over and now they're doing that? Because I don't want that. That's not going to make up for this.
They would never do that. Their bread and butter is the baby. And the thing I am worried about is you have a very tight show with a very strong creative team behind it. And now you've got five shows. They're just not going to all be, they just can't. They won't all be as good as this show.
Yep.
Maybe by some miracle they will be. That'll be awesome. But realistically speaking, they probably won't be. So that's the only concern is now you go from one show to what? Six shows? Ahsoka's got a show. Boba's got a show.
Bo-Katan's
got a show. Yep. And everybody gets a show.
Everybody gets a show.
Where's Carl Weathers' show?
I will say Carl Weathers, I mean, he did get to direct an episode, which is great, but I felt as if that was the only thing lacking from the season was that I didn't get enough Carl Weathers saying Mando.
I think I was good.
I love Carl Weathers' character. I'll have him in every episode.
I love Carl Weathers. Oh, he's so good. He's so, so good.
I do want to touch on the fact I did like the second to last episode a hell of a lot, like Josh said earlier with Bill Burr. I thought the scene where Mando basically had to take his mask off to not blow their cover was incredible.
Yep.
It was a real character growth moment too, like in a bunch of different ways. Yeah. It's really interesting.
I think Pedro Pascal is doing incredible work.
He's great. Yeah.
We know it's not always him on screen. We know it's usually just his voice, but
I was going to say it's him and the three other guys.
Him and John Wayne's grandson and two other guys. Whatever the combination of people doing that character is great. And I thought that it was incredibly moving when you could see the pain on his face when he had to sit down and make small talk with the Imperial officer and how uncomfortable he was. And I thought it was a terrific episode. I really did.
Neither of you have watched Narcos, I assume.
No.
No.
He's so good in that show. And he actually narrates a lot of it. And it's very Henry Hill-like in how he goes through it. So I'm very familiar with his voice. But when I first watched that show, like, I think I'd sort of recognized him from something, but not really. But a huge standout in that show. I was like, that guy's great. And it's really cool to see, you know, him showing up in more things and succeeding in that way. But yeah, he's awesome.
So for the final episode, you know, they released them at midnight in Pacific time. I love the show. I'm not going to watch it at midnight.
Yeah, I watch it when I can.
I'm asleep.
But you got to avoid social media. That's the
problem. But you have to avoid not just social media, because I'm not everything. You know, there was like 3 deadline articles that came out. One at like 12:30 at night, and then like 9 o'clock in the morning. So like you have to like just shut everything off. I ended up watching it like at like 11 a.m. because I usually like to watch it at night. You know, I don't want the light noise. I want to get the best picture. But there was clearly too much going on in the zeitgeist. I didn't want to get spoiled. And I didn't get spoiled. I didn't get spoiled at all. But I was really worried about it because, again, people are watching at midnight and talking about it. And, you know, good for them. But I just can't. I can't do that. Let's walk through this. So it's called The Rescue. Mando and his unit go to break out Baby Yoda, who's been captured by Giancarlo Esposito, and who has the black saber or whatever it is. The other thing I'll say is I don't love the fact that this Beskar armor is like indestructible.
Yeah, it's tough.
Like there's never in any danger. Like the robot's punching him in the face over and over and over again, and it's just like you know, it's just this.
The parts between it seem pretty. They should go for those parts.
Yeah, shoot him in the ribs.
It's not. I don't know if you've noticed, but everything from his stomach down to his knees
is exposed. Right.
So they're infiltrating this ship, and they have to fight the dark troopers.
Yeah, which is from the video game. Yeah.
A coworker of mine was fucking overjoyed about that, and I was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
It leads to a classic standoff where they're trapped in the bridge with Giancarlo Esposito as their prisoner, as these dark troops who they thought they had jettisoned off the ship return because they're not human and they've got propulsion.
Like R2-D2, they have jets.
So they come back to the ship and there's like a very horror-esque moment where they're pounding their way through the door to get in and they're sort of prepared to make their last stand. It's a great sequence. I've watched it several times. So I'm watching it. And then they're like, oh, there's an alert. There's a ship coming. And we see an X-Wing come. And my first thought, I had many thoughts that happened like within picoseconds. It was like, oh, it's those
chubby dudes.
Those rebel soldiers. Well, that's weird. And then it was, oh, maybe it's Ahsoka or maybe it's one of the other Jedi. And then immediately I went, no.
So as soon as the shot of the X-Wing came in and it like banked, I might have squealed and said, no way.
I mean, I stuck with no way for a long. I said there's because I thought I was like, well, they're fucking with us,
right?
And then as it goes on further and further, I was like, oh, they're really waiting to yank the rug out from under me right now. I'm not going to fall for this. It's going to be Ben Skywalker or whoever. You know, like it's not going to be what I think. And I was wrong.
So at what point did you admit that this is what was happening?
When he got off and he was wearing the cloak when he got out of the ship.
It was even about halfway through with the green, like, because I'm like, oh, it could be someone with a green lightsaber. Like, I kept on, like, convincing myself it wasn't happening until the shot of him holding the lightsaber and you saw it was Luke's.
That was my moment.
That was,
it was very clear, like, we're those kind of nerds, where and we're the age where I was like, that's Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. Like, I knew that much. You know, like, that is Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. That's the right color. That's his belt.
Yep.
You know, I thought there's no way they're going to. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then we get the Luke Skywalker that we never got to get.
Yep.
And frankly, for me, makes up for The Last Jedi.
Yep.
We got Luke at his prime taking out an entire shipload of dark troops. And it was glorious. And then it became, are they just going to hide his face the whole time? Like, what are they going to do now? And then, you know, he takes the hood off and it's...
What I love is that they just went for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's really funny because a couple of weeks before that, I had the random thought idly one day, like, I wonder, you know, like, I'm sure Mark Hamill would do the show. Like,
of course.
You know, like, so I was like, I wonder if they're ever going to, you know, it was just one of those, you know, moments that fleets through your head and leaves.
But really, if you had said it, I would not have believed it, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wouldn't think it would get to that point. So it was very surprising in that way. And I would say that the feeling that I had, you know, I'm not made of stone.
No.
But I said, oh, this is the best Star Wars feeling I've had since I saw the trailer for The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Because really? We didn't know at that point. But that was – and then before
I would have said for the – Force Awakens we all weeped for that in that trailer. We all did.
Yeah, but that was like, oh, this is a new thing and that's cool. And I know this, but after all that, when we didn't really get what we want, like, the movie was good and whatever, and I enjoyed it, and it was great, but it wasn't that deep.
Chewie, we're home. That was, we all started crying in that trailer.
Yeah.
Don't deny it. We did a whole segment on the podcast.
Telling you, this was more intense than that, though.
No, I'm not saying it wasn't. This was, I don't think I breathed through the whole sequence.
Yeah.
I watched it several times. I want to go watch it now after we talk about it.
It was a lot to take in. I felt very tense. I was squeezing the couch. I was squeezing my wife. It was very like, and here's the thing, like since then, like I've talked to some friends who are cynical or whatever. And like, oh God, you know, like somebody did a deep fake version on YouTube that looked better than that.
Whatever.
Like, guess what? Nope. I don't care. It was fine. Do an entire Luke Skywalker TV show like this and I'll watch it.
Yeah.
100%.
100%. Right?
And he was like, you know, he's down. He's with it. So.
Well, now what's interesting is the conversation that we had in our house was she's like, well, they can't take Baby Yoda away. That's the whole reason I watch this show. Like, they're not taking him away because it's the marketing bonanza of a generation.
Yeah.
So how did they get, because, you know, the show ends with Luke and R2 taking Baby Yoda away to go train or whatever they're going to do with him. So they're going to have to get him back in the story because then Mando's going off with the other Mandalorians to Mandalore to do Mandalorian stuff. So how do they weave it back together again? Because there's no way they're going to separate them. That's the entire point of the show. They're not going to have Luke be a regular character, I don't think. I don't think you can keep pulling this lever all the time.
Yeah, well, I don't think they can afford to. I think didn't they pay Hamill like $4 million for that or something like that? It was like something insane. Yeah.
The question is, how do they get them back together? Like, how does it, you know, that's the exciting part of the next season. But, you know, they're not going to remove Baby Yoda from the show. Baby Yoda's made the show.
Yep. That's a good question. I don't know what they're going to do. Yeah. I don't know how they do it. Yeah.
It's interesting.
But I'm going to watch the hell out of it.
Are you going to watch all the spinoffs?
There's a real danger. I mean, it's the same thing as the danger with everything. Like, there's too many movies. There's too many whatever.
Yeah.
And I'll check them out, but there's a real problem of dilution that can happen.
Yeah, it's like, here's the thing. I don't have any investment in Ahsoka. You know, like I know the character. I know from the cartoon. I know that she's beloved, and I like Rosario Dawson and stuff like that. But I don't have an emotional connection. And I feel, and like Mandalorian was great because nobody had an emotional connection. We were all starting from the same point, right?
Right.
It's tough. I don't know. It's tough.
Well, I think it's one of those things where, like, a new show, even if it's pretty good, you know, well, it's pretty good. It doesn't. Yeah. It might not be as compelling, and I think it's got to, you know, it'll be like, well, you know, it was pretty good. I'm not really drawn to watch it. We'll see whether you want to or not, you know. Right. But I'm not going to just watch them all as rote just because I'm supposed to, or, you know, because they're all, well, you got to watch all of them.
Right.
You know, it's like reading every comic Marvel comes out with. You wouldn't really do it.
Do we know if Rangers of the New Republic is about the, or who it's about, or what it's about?
Yeah, there's a synopsis.
Well, so you have Book of Boba Fett, you have Ahsoka.
Here we go. Strangers of the New Republic, set within the timeline of The Mandalorian, the new live-action series from Favreau and Filoni will intersect with future stories and culminate into a climatic story event.
Oh, they're all going to cross over at the end. It's going to be like the Marvel shows on Netflix. That's
not good.
Yep. So it's going to be it's going to be the guys in the X-Wings, right?
So, I mean, the problem here is also that, you know, you don't want those showrunners to get too stressed out, so
right,
they're not able
concern,
to concentrate on making the one thing really good. Like, that's a real problem.
Yeah.
We see it in comics all the time.
Yep.
But at the same time, like, if all you end up are these two great seasons and everything after that sort of fizzles out or gets too, you know, diluted, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the idea, like trying to hold up that everything else will feel like this or, you know, be like this, it's probably unrealistic. So I guess I'm tempering my expectations.
Mm-hmm. You know, Temuera Morrison could have been Dengar.
Look like a great Dengar.
And I don't know what Dengar sounds like.
I was going to say, what are the odds that Dengar's like, how many years after Jedi does Dengar survive? Because he was in rough shape already.
Yeah.
Right.
Dengar was not taking care of himself.
Swoop bike accident.
Yeah. He drinks too much and crashes it.
Oh, God. I love Dengar.
So,
but you love Dengar because there's nothing to it.
Nothing to it. Because
you can make it all up in your head.
Are those bandages? Like,
there you go.
Yeah, like it's done in a way that's mysterious. It's like,
by the time you've even had your thought about it, they've moved on. I guess I'll never see Dengar again.
Exactly.
But you'll be left wondering. There's a real mystery to that I think that we underestimate.
No, it allows you, especially as a kid, to create this whole world in your imagination. And that increases your love for it, your emotional connection to it. It's not the same as making the story in your head so that you get angry and they don't tell that story, but it's about creating this emotional connection to the world by filling in the backstory.
Yep.
Not finding out his name is John Howlett or whatever the fuck it was, or
James Howlett. John D. Engar.
It's just, it's not as, whenever you fill in the holes, it's never as good as, just leave
never
it.
The same.
Just leave it. I'm going to sample all of the new shows. There's no way I'm not going to. Does that mean I'm going to watch everyone? Not necessarily, but I'm going to sample all of them. Of course
I will. I think it'll be clear right away. Like, I mean, some of them you might like or not like, but you don't know which ones are going to have staying power.
Right. Josh, are you going to watch them all?
I don't know. Not necessarily. We'll see. But there's also a certain point where there's too much. You know, like if there's too many things, I won't be able to keep up. And then I'll hear later whether one's really good or not good, or, you know, we'll go from there. I'm really only interested in seeing further Mandalorian stuff right now. Other than that, you know, I could take it or leave it.
The greater Mandalorian story, or just the story of Din?
No, just Djarin. the core series.
Din Djarin.
Yeah.
The Jar Jarin.
Here's the question, though, is that, you know, is the genie out of the bottle in terms of these, you know, the CGI, like, will we see Han Solo pop up in the Cassian Rogue One guy series? You know what I mean? The thing about this is that having Luke come in the way he did is a big swing.
Yeah. And it worked.
And if they do that too often, it will work against them.
That's what I mean. You can only pull that lever so many times. It's an emotional lever, and you can't keep pulling it. After a while, it's like the rats touching the electric. After a while, you won't feel it anymore because it's just like, oh, here's Luke again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then again, like Ron said, if they made a Luke show, I'd be excited for it. So I don't know.
It'd be really hard for that not to be disappointing, though.
Yeah.
All I can say is that this is all really confusing and emotional. Oh, man. I do feel like I'm being toyed with.
But you know what was great was that, other than the outliers that maybe Ron mentioned earlier, like, for the most part, everyone was really excited.
Yeah.
By the show and by the episode and by the Luke stuff. Like, it was like, for the one brief shining moment within Star Wars culture, all the fandoms could hold hands and say, this was awesome.
Everybody was on the same page in that regard. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
which is nice.
We can get back to our warring camps later. But for this moment, it's like, you know, World War One and Christmas, and the soldiers put their guns down and sing carols. Like, this is the moment we had with everybody on December 18th. It was nice. It was really great.
Pretty nice, yeah. It's a good point.
You know.
It was nice.
I'm glad you weren't spoiled, Josh, because at one point you thought you were spoiled, and Ron and I were very worried, but then it turns out you weren't spoiled.
I can't remember what I saw that made me think I was spoiled, but it wasn't that. Yeah, I was too. I think I went out of my way to watch it as early as possible that day. So I was just sitting here at my desk with it on, you know, one of my monitors and watching it.
Yeah, I totally watched it lunch break on Friday. I was like, damn it, I have to watch this right now.
Yeah, no, what's really great is that I do have those young staffers who wake up at 3 a.m. and watch it. And then I wake up to a Slack saying, stay off social media today. Which is hard because that's like my job too. But it's just... But it is nice to have them look out for me in that regard.
Is there anything that could get you to stay up to midnight to watch it?
Not these days.
Oh, I could do that. I just wouldn't be doing that at midnight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm usually asleep by then. All right. So that was The Mandalorian Season 2. I thought it was terrific. I really liked it. I liked it a lot.
It was great.
I'd like to rewatch it. I love that there's not long episodes, so I could rewatch it. It wouldn't take me a long time. And what they've got going, this weird alchemy between Pedro Pascal and the baby and Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau is working.
It's working.
I thought you said something about Weird Al for a second. I thought that would make this better.
Maybe he'll show up. What do we think about Amy Sedaris?
I think she's great. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I could take it or leave it.
Okay. All right, so that was Mandalorian. This is The Media Explode. You can go to ifanboy.com. There'll be a post for the show if you want to talk about what you thought of Mandalorian Season 2 and... We will be back next month to talk about something else. In the meantime, we have our weekly Pick of the Week show, which Josh and I talk about the week's comics. We have our special edition shows. We have our Talksplodes, in which Josh reviews a creator. Our Booksplodes, in which we talk about single books. We have all kinds of shows at fanboy.com. You can find them all there. Ron, where are you found?
I can go find me on Twitter and on Instagram at RonXO. And you can also hear me every week if you're into Android on All About Android podcast from the Twit Network. Just Google that. You'll find it.
All right. And until next time, I am Connor.
I'm Ron.
And I'm Josh. This is the way.
We're on the way home.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.